mountains of Mecca, what can you say of the day that Abraham passed your way? And he was instructed by God to build a house of peace where people will pray, and they will come on every lean camel and out of every ravine for the purpose of praising Allah, to glorify Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise due to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, none can show Him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another episode in the series of History of Hajj. In today's episode, we'll get to speak about another Umrah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to perform. If you remember in the hadith which is narrated by Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, that Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu have informed him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have performed only four Umrahs in his entire life. And he said that all of them were performed during the month of Dhul Qa'dah, except the Umrah which he performed along with Hajj on the year, on the 10th year, which was Hajjatul Wada' or the farewell Hajj. So the four Umrahs were as follows. The first one is Umratul Hudaybiyah, which he was not able to perform after reaching all the way to Al-Hudaybiyah, but he was not able to enter Mecca because the Meccan pagans intercepted the Muslim caravan. And the following Umrah was on the 7th year and on the month of Dhul Qa'dah as well, and it was simply called Umratul Qada. Al-Qada is to make up. And the acts of worship, if a person is to perform any voluntary act of worship and he wasn't able to do it or he did not complete it, he's not required to make it up except in the case of Hajj or Umrah. Allah Almighty said in the Quran, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْحَجِّ. Once you assume the intention of performing Umrah or Hajj, once you say لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ, whether to perform Umrah or Hajj, then it becomes due. You must complete it. You cannot stop in the middle unless if there is a reason, such as al-ihsar. If you were intercepted, if you were prevented, then you should offer your hadj. And in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to perform Umrah next year. And that's why it is called Umratul Qada, to make up for Umratul Hudaybiyah, which he was not able to perform. It is also called Umratul Qasas, which basically the same meaning, because the Meccans did not allow him to perform Umrah, and they ended up concluding the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. And one of the articles of the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah was that Muslims will not get to enter Mecca this year to perform Umrah. They gotta go back, and next year, which will be the 7th year, they can come back to perform Umrah and only allowed to stay in Mecca for 3 days. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced in Medina on the month of Dhul Qa'dah, that every single person who have joined me the previous year to perform Umrah on the year of Al-Hudaybiyah on the 6th year must join me to make Umratul Qada on the 7th year. There were 1400 companions, except for those who either passed away or were martyred. In addition to approximately another 600, so the total number was 2,000 companions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made a deal that he would not bring weapons. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, that he brought a troop of the companions on the back of their horses, carrying their weapons fully armed. Why? in order to take measures of security. You never know. He did not let them enter Mecca though. They all made the ihram from the Hulayfa after they sat out from Medina, and they continued making talbiyah until they reached before Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the horsemen to camp there so that to be ready in case that the Meccans would do anything, they will be willing to defend the Muslims. When the rest of the Muslims who joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Umratul Qadha entered Mecca in a state of ihram, the Meccan chieftains could not tolerate seeing Muslims performing tawaf and sa'i and performing umrah in peace, because it was only a few years ago that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fled from Mecca and they were chasing him. Now he's coming with full security to perform umrah, and his word has become the higher word. So they climbed some of the mountains, and meanwhile they were hoping that they can show some joy and delight at the weakness of Muslims, because coming maybe 10 days traveling in Medina, they were sick and they had fever. So they said, now sit and enjoy watching those guys who would not be able even to perform their tawaf or sa'i. You know, umrah or hajj requires health in order to exert your effort in performing your tawaf and sa'i. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give them this opportunity. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let whoever believe in Allah in the last day today to show them the strength, the power and the quwwah. So he ordered the companions to jog or walk briskly in the tawaf. So they started doing so while they were tired and exhausted. They started kind of running or walking briskly in the first three rounds. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he noticed that the mission was accomplished and now he delivered the message that the Sahaba and Muslims were not weak, were not tired, rather they are very powerful. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of mercy on his companion, said, now we walk regular, slow down, because the mission is accomplished, and he delivered the message. This practice of running or jogging, or the best term is to walk briskly, okay, is known as ar-ramal. And it is the sunnah until the day of judgment to perform ramal in what is known as tawaful qudum. Tawaful qudum is the arrival tawaf. Whether you're performing umrah or hajj, or you have just arrived to Mecca, the very first tawaf, it is recommended to do some sunan or prophetic traditions. One of them is ar-ramal in the first three rounds, and that is only for men. Women are not allowed to walk briskly, they are not allowed to jog, they are not allowed to run, not even in as-sa'i. We know that in the case of as-sa'i, in a certain area, we are recommended to run, but women do not run. Even though we run into remember the sacrifices of Hajar, peace be upon her. But why shouldn't women run like men, whether in Ar-Ramal or in Al-Mas'a? Because women should conceal themselves and they should cover up their bodies. If they were to run or jog, that would expose the details of their bodies, and that is not permissible, neither in Hajj or Umrah or even in our everyday life. Rather, they were commanded to wear hijab. So that is the first sunnah that men are highly recommended to do, even though the cause of prescribing the sunnah doesn't exist anymore. But we follow the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to remind us now while we're performing tawaf, we perform tawaf and sa'i and umrah and hajj with security and peace, alhamdulillah wa shukrillah. The second sunnah is al-ittiba', and again that's a sunnah for men. Al-ittiba' is to uncover the right shoulder. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also ordered them to uncover the right shoulders, all men. So while wearing the ihram, you leave the right shoulder uncovered. Throughout the 7 rounds, only during tawaf al-qudum and the entire 7 rounds. So al-ramal in the first 3 rounds, while al-iqtida' uncovering the right shoulder is to be observed in the entire first tawaf, which is the 7 rounds altogether. Then once you finish, you should cover both shoulders in order to be able to pray the sunnah after tawaf and so on. Unfortunately, some people do not comprehend this meaning, and once they dress up in ihram, they uncover the right shoulder. You see them in Arafah like that, you see them in As-Sa'i like that, and this is not permissible. Because it is only prescribed in the very first tawaf. So even if you're still coming, you do not uncover your right shoulder until you enter the haram and you're ready to perform your tawaf. And after you perform your tawaf, back to normal. You cover both your shoulders. You don't walk in the streets showing your muscles. This sunnah, as we say, was prescribed in order to show the Meccan pagans the strength of the Muslim ummah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that, after performing the tawaf and the sa'i, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Mecca for 3 days. And he got married to his wife Maymuna, may Allah be pleased with her. He wanted to throw the walima in Mecca, but the Meccans did not allow him. They said, you've got only 3 days, now you should leave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fulfilled his covenant, and he left Mecca after 3 days, where he did the actual consummation of the marriage a few miles outside Mecca. By that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his second Umrah, which is known as Umratul Qadha or Umratul Qisas, on the 7th year, on the 7th year of the migration, on the same month, the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. Why Dhul-Qa'dah? The Meccan pagans have cancelled, any Umrah during the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, or even Dhul-Hijjah, and they used to consider performing Umrah during the month of Dhul-Qa'dah after Al-Fujur, the most wicked of all sins. Why? That's their own invention. And that's why they also consider performing Umrah during the time of Hajj is not permissible. It was, as some historians say, due to commercial reasons. So they wanted people to come for Umrah especially and come for Hajj independently. So if you've come for Hajj, you cannot do Umrah along with the Hajj. And obviously Islam restored the same Hajj ceremony of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam did Hajj al-Qiran, Umrah and Hajj together, and he recommended for his companions to do Hajj al-Tamattu', which is also performing Umrah and Hajj, but with the two different intentions and taking a break in between. With regards to this blessing of making up the Umrah and performing Umrah al-Qadha, Allah the Almighty referred to that in Surah Al-Fath, which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the way from Mecca to Medina on the 6th year after the migration, when his Hajj caravan was intercepted by the Meccan pagans and they were not allowed to enter Mecca. He revealed the chapter number 48 and the ayah number 27, in which Allah the Almighty says, لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. And this ayah means certainly Allah had shown to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam the vision with truth, referring to his night vision. You shall most certainly enter the sacred masjid, if Allah pleases, in security, some having their heads shaved and others having their hair cut. You shall not fear, but he knows what you do not know, so he brought about a near victory before that. And that is referring to the near victory of the conquest of Mecca, which will be the following year. So in the sixth year, Muslims were not allowed to enter Mecca to perform Umrah. Then on the following year, in the seventh year, he made Umratul Qada with 2,000 companions. Then on the following year, it was the eighth, which was the year of the conquest of Mecca. So brothers and sisters, that was the story of Umratul Qada, which was on the seventh year after the migration, the second Umrah that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to perform out of four Umrahs. And until next episode, I leave you in the care of Allah. Wassalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
O mountains of Mecca, what can you say of the day that Abraham passed away, and he was instructed by God to build a house of peace where people will pray, and they will come on every lean camel and out of every ravine for the purpose of praising Allah, to glorify Allah.